Amen. So I want you to grab your Bibles in, and I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. So a gentleman was rushed to the hospital. His wife is with him, older gentleman. They've run battery of tests on him. They have seen all the symptoms, and they're pulling these symptoms together in the test results. And the doctor pulls the wife out of the room, and she said, and he says, she asks him, so doctor, how bad is it? And he says, well, look, here's the bottom line. He's not going to make it. He's just not going to make it unless you're able to sustain him. And here's what I mean. That means that you're going to want to feed him 3 hot meals every day. He needs plenty of nutrition. And I would, you know, fresh vegetables. It's going to take some time, but you're going to need to give him 3 hot meals a day. Now, he's going to need better circulation. So you're going to need to rub his feet, rub his back, and rub his shoulders every day, twice a day, actually, in the morning and in the evening, just to make sure his circulation is good. Thirdly, you're going to need to go on long walks with him. This is going to take a while, but every day in the morning, you're going to need to go on a very long walk with him. He needs more exercise. You need to get him to go and get him out the door. And honestly, if he feels any numbness in his fingers, you need to massage his fingers, but then you're going to need to spoon feed him just to make sure he's getting that proper nutrition. She says, okay, so I do these things and he's going to be all right. Yes, you do these things. He's going to be all right. All right. So she walks into the room where her husband is, and she sits down in a chair next to him, and he looks up at her and he says, so sweetheart, what did the doctor say? And she looks at him and shakes her head, and she says, the doctor said you're not going to make it. So I am going to share with you some symptoms, but the truth is, these symptoms are just that. They're only symptoms. Have you ever had symptoms of something and you're Googling the symptoms, right? And Google tells you, with these 5 symptoms, number one, you had this tragic disease and you've got like less than a year to live. Have you ever done that? Have you ever Googled your symptoms and they walk you through and says, but of course, I said, no, these are only symptoms. You need to see a doctor. And the bottom line is, so many times we have symptoms of something, but do we really have it? We're not sure. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you some symptoms. Have you ever heard the, you know, you can tell you're a redneck if, like you can tell you're a redneck if most of your appliances are on the front porch. And so I'm going to share some things. You know, you're led by the law if. Okay, and I'm going to share just 6 things with you. You know you're led by the law if, number one, you regularly wrestle with guilt and shame, even condemnation and regrets. You know you're led by the law if you tend to do things to make up for past sins. And so you find yourself serving the Lord and working hard, because really what you're doing is you're making up for past sins. Things that you regret, things that you feel ashamed of. Number 3, you know that you are led by the law if everything is seen as black and white. There's no gray areas in life. Now, I want to say that sin is always black and white. Sin is always black and white. It's either true or not true. What you're doing is either sin or not. But here's the problem. There are many things that Scripture speaks about as far as wisdom. And many times we take wisdom. Like, let me give you an example. Proverbs says, and I've always found this to be a little bit humorous, but Proverbs says that if you greet your neighbor early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to you. Don't do that. So here's my question. You want to go fishing with your buddy at 5 in the morning and you greet him. Is that a sin? See, the idea is that these are tidbits of wisdom that the author is passing on to us. And he's not trying to make things black and white. He's trying to give us guidelines. And so this is what wisdom literature is about. Now, don't get me wrong. Commands are commands. Do not steal. If you steal, that's a sin. It's pretty black and white. So that's obviously not what I'm talking about. But for the legalist, for the one who is led by the law, you know, you're led by the law, if everything is black and white. And the bottom line is that many times, even when it comes to things like spiritual disciplines, reading the Bible and prayer and worship, like how much do you have to do that? How long do you have to do? You have to do it every day. See, we have to be careful. These measure our heart, if anything else. And it's not even a command that if you don't do it, you're falling into sin. So if you missed your quiet time this morning, stop kicking yourself. The truth is, as I mentioned this last week, we need to see these as growth opportunities. We need to see these not as black and white, this is sin and this isn't, but these are growth opportunities. Many times serving people, that's a growth opportunity. Opportunities to evangelize, these are growth opportunities. If we miss them, we don't allow ourselves to be riddled with guilt. If we haven't been witnessing as much as we did last week or the year before, this is not an opportunity to kick ourselves, wallow in regret or shame. These are opportunities for us to grow in, to be able to advance and seek God and press into work, because God is more concerned about our heart than this. These are spiritual growth opportunities. Guilt, numbers, you can tell you know you're led by the law. Guilt is appeased by a list of moral do's and don'ts. The guilt that we're experiencing, we tend to appease it with our list. And here's what we do. We often think in our minds of that bar being low. And so we see, hey, look at all these little things that I've done. And we have created a list of moral do's and don'ts that aren't necessarily even found in Scripture. We clear those bars. We feel good about ourselves. And so even though our hearts may be straying so far from the Lord, you heard me say this last week, well, at least I haven't killed anybody, right? So, wow, that's a really low bar if you've been sharing that one. That's a really low bar. The truth is, it is not about the bar. It's not about clearing the bar. It is about pursuing Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did say, if you love me, you will serve me. But that's where we start. Love for Jesus Christ. It all starts there. Another thing, you know, you're led by the law. If you begin to confuse issues of the heart with issues of action and words, for example, lust, greed, envy, I have a few others here, hatred or bitterness, these are issues of the heart, and often they're easy to camouflage the things of the heart. Because even as the Pharisees did, hey, as long as I have not committed adultery, I'm good. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. If your right hand has offended you, if your left eye has offended you, pluck it out, cut off the hand. Because it's the issue of the heart. If you've lusted after a woman in your heart, that is as if you have committed adultery with her. And so Jesus wanted to get at the heart. So that's what I want us to do this evening. Over the next short little bit, I want to get at what Jesus is getting at with regard to the heart, and for us then to realize if we're not led by the law, what does it look like when we're led by the Spirit? And the bottom line is that it is going to be a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, the one who's given you life. This is where it's going to come down to. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to turn to Galatians 4. And I want you to think about what this passage is saying here when Jesus is giving us a figure of speech. It's an image of Hagar at the end of chapter 4. Hagar represents the city of Jerusalem. She represents the law. She is the slave woman. The scriptures say, and Paul is pointing, she's the slave woman. She is the one who's been born under the law that is now in slavery to the law. Hagar would represent the Jews who had not trusted in Jesus Christ, had not found freedom and liberty in their pursuit of worshiping God and having a relationship with him. You know, it even goes back before the law. where Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. The law was added hundreds of years later, and many began using the law as a benchmark for their relationship with God, for their faith, for their love for God. And when we start doing that, when we start using the law, you know, am I doing this? Am I doing this? And we put together a list, we're missing it. We become enslaved to that list, and we begin to appease this. If we're not walking closely with the Lord, then we begin to appease the gnawing of the Spirit of God stirring us, try to draw us closer to Him. And God wants us to get our focus off the law and trying to fulfill the law, because once we're filled with the Spirit, those things will happen, and we're going to see that. So I want us to read this passage, Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 28. I'm only reading a few verses from this chapter. It says, "Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise." Children of promise. See, these are the children of Sarah. She is the woman of promise, not the slave woman. She's the woman of promise. And so Isaac was born of Sarah. Ishmael was born of Hagar. Ishmael was the slave woman's son. Isaac was the child of promise. See, now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Why? Because you believe God. You trust. It starts with that relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So he goes on in verse 29. "At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit." It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. And he goes on in chapter 5, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And there were two ways in which they were being burdened by yoke of slavery. Number one, they were burdened with this idea that you were actually justified by the law. If you fulfilled the law, if you had all of your lists, even the rules of the elders, the traditions of the elders, they counted. And so they stacked all of these rules up. And we looked last week that there were over 613 laws, Mosaic laws in the Old Testament. And half of them were, a little bit more than half of them were ceremonial. So the other half were moral laws. Regardless, they were taking these laws and they were stacking them up, and they were measuring their spirituality by how they accomplished these laws. Now, here's what I want to ask you, because this was totally me before I gave my heart to Christ. I measured my Christianity based on, did I swear that week? Did I go to church that week? Actually, twice a week. You know, I went to church. My parents made me go to church twice a week. And I measured my Christianity based on those rules. And that is not how they do it. Yet when you were a slave of the law, that's how we do it. That's how we measure this walk with God based on the laws. And can I just be honest with you? I was constantly feeling guilty, constantly feeling the weight of the law, because I knew I didn't measure up. I knew I didn't, but I felt that I had been good enough. And how did I know that? Because I was at least fulfilling most of the moral law. And there are so many Christians today, they weigh their relationship with God based on the moral laws. If they don't do this and they don't do this and they don't play cards and they don't touch this, then they must be good Christians, and they're totally missing out on what Paul calls here earlier in the chapter, the joy of the Lord. You remember me mentioning this last week. He says in verse 15, what has happened to all your joy? Because number one, as I was saying, they started to be justified by the law. If I do all of these things, now I'm saved. Though there were some who realized, no, I still have faith in Jesus, but they began to add the law to their walk with Christ so that they measured their Christianity that way. Haven't begun with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Are you trying to be sanctified? Are you trying to be trying to appear before God as holy, righteous, good, and loving because of all these laws and commands that you keep. And he says, no, it is all about faith. It is all about clinging to Jesus Christ with everything in us. Because if we don't do that, and this is me, before I came to Christ, seeking to be justified by the law, but even after 14, I gave my heart to Christ, God had to show me that I was still, you know, if you read these six things that I read to you, the symptoms, you know, you're led by the law, if that was me. I was totally me. And God had to set me free by doing this. And he did it by one simple way. And he did it by drawing me into a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's going to do. So if we're going to sum up this message that I'm going to share with you this evening, that's what it boils down to, your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's what I'm calling you to. So to do that, as we look at this, it's interesting that the slave woman's son, so Ishmael, persecuted Isaac. And here's what you're going to find. Those who are led by the law will always seek to condemn Christians who are led by the flesh. So I kind of get that as far as, hey, you're not fulfilling, you're not walking with Christ the way you're supposed to because you're being led by the flesh. I get that. But yeah, the answer is not the law. That's what they give them. The law for the world is the answer to sin. Breaking Christ, there's the law. You obey the law. And the world offers the law. They get the law. They don't get the Spirit. But here's what happens. Ishmael, when you're led by the law, not only do you condemn those who are led by the flesh, but you condemn those who are led by the Spirit. You see, they begin to create, just like the Pharisees did, all of these different laws. Because, hey, in order to not break the Sabbath, they begin to create all of these laws just to make sure you didn't break the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath was like what constituted work. Like, how much could you carry? How far could you actually travel from your own? And they began to fine-tune all of this, and it became so burdensome. But as Christians, we can do the same. And we begin to build these lists, and we condemn those who are truly led by the Spirit because they don't do what we do. We have built a law. We've checked off all of these things that we do as good Christians, and half of them aren't even found in the Word. And it is the one led by the law that ends up condemning the one led by the Spirit. The one who is led by the Spirit, we're told, those are the ones who are truly filled with joy. So here's what I want to do. I want us now to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Really a profound passage in just a few verses that Jesus brings to us. So turn there with me if you would. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to round out our time together in this short little passage. So many of you know, some of you may even have this passage memorized. But in Matthew 11, we're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30. Here's what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I remember from the King James, you who are weary and heavy laden, like this burden upon your shoulders. But how does he begin this? He says, come to me. That doesn't just mean listen to me. When Jesus uses the phrase come to me, it means believe in me. It means trust in me. So it's more than just a movement towards him. It is a surrendering of the heart to him. Come to me. Trust me. And you're going to see that here. So he says, come to me who? All you who are weary and burdened. So here's what sin does, and here's what the law does. These two things, the sin and the law, burden us. They're a weight. Sin, it becomes this weight. It's filthy. It encumbers us. It's like moving through quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you go. And the bottom line is we can't struggle our way out of sin. Jesus has to rescue us. That's the only way it's going to happen. And so we have to trust him. We have to cry out to him, surrendering our heart to him and crying out, rescue me right now. That is what Jesus comes to us as our Savior. He comes to rescue us, pull us out of our sin, not just forgive us of our sin. Jesus being Savior doesn't just forgive us of our sin. He comes and he pulls us out of our sin. Why would he want to forgive us and then leave us there? He comes to forgive us and pull us out of our sin, to free us from our sin. He's the bondage breaker. He's the one who sets us free. And so sin acts as this burden and this weight for those who are caught up in the bondage of sin and need to be set free. And so the entire world is caught up in this prison of sin, and this verse applies to them. Come to Jesus. But he goes on. See, it's not just about those who are caught in the flesh, but those who are caught up in the law. And we're going to see this here, and it's pretty cool, a little bit later, but we see that this passage not only applies for those who are burdened by sin, but those who are burdened by the law. And the law acts as this weight, robs us of joy, robs us of intimacy with Jesus Christ, because the law begins to reveal to us, for those who are led by the law, begins to reveal to us, wow, I keep this law, and I keep this law, and I keep this law. I'm pretty good. But the reality is, no, we're not. You guys know this. The law should be revealing our sin. But those who are led by the law, they actually use it to appease their guilty consciences. And God needs to set them free from even the guilty conscience, because the truth is, we shouldn't need to be wrestling with guilty conscience. We shouldn't need to be wrestling with shame or guilt or condemnation of any kind. Jesus came to truly set us free from that, to walk in the liberty that he has promised for us. And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's what you experience when you walk in the Spirit. The law is a burden. It wearies us. We struggle. We try. We feel this way. And I can tell you what, the first 2 years of following Jesus, and probably even longer, 4 years probably, of walking with Jesus, I felt the burden of the law. And what set me free was truly having a clear understanding of who Jesus is as my Lord and Savior, who the Father was, not as one who was constantly condemning. He wasn't just the lawgiver enforcing that law. He came to have this relationship with me through Jesus Christ. And when I began to have a proper perspective of who the Father was, by coming to Jesus, truly coming to him with this invitation, and in Isaiah 55, that invitation of coming to him is to come buy wine, milk, food that doesn't cost you anything except your life. See, when you experience that devotion and surrender to Jesus Christ and you come to him like this, what joy there is. The burden, the weight lifts from our shoulders. This is the freedom that he's calling us and he's inviting us to experience. So he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now, he moves on and he says this, and I will give you rest. I just want to ask you right now, And I cannot answer this question for you. You need to do this as you begin to just assess your life right now. How much rest do you experience in Jesus Christ? See, if you're one led by the flesh, if you were one that's led by the law, you rarely experience that type of rest. You feel the weight, you feel the guilt, you feel this pressure, I've got to perform, and you truly feel, and I felt this way, but you will truly feel like a little hamster on the treadmill, and it's wearying, you're going nowhere, and you can feel it, and Christianity wearies you. Following Jesus, at least so you think you're following Jesus, is wearying and you're robbed of joy. And so many Christians today who are led by the flesh, led by the law, they walk away from the Lord because it's burdensome. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And they're thinking, well, I did and I'm not set free. And it's because they're still caught up in the bondage of sin or the flesh and the law. And Jesus comes, as he invites us, no, be led by the Spirit. So what does this mean? Let's go on. Here's what he says. Are you ready for this? He says, take. So now this is what he's asking them to do. First he says, come. Then he says, take. Come to me, trust me. Now take what? take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a yoke and there is a burden. Now, this might hit us almost as if it's contradictory. A yoke, a burden. These are things that you put on an oxen to carry and muscle through the field, to plow the field. I am not suggesting that serving Jesus will not require a surrendered heart, which means a surrender of your time, and an obedience. I'm not suggesting that at all. But when that leads us, rather than relationship, it will be a burden. So let's look at those two things, the yoke and the burden. The yoke is basically something that is placed around the neck of the beast of burden. Sometimes there's two of them in this yoke, but it goes back to the owner who holds the reins. Now, sometimes it's on a plow. Sometimes you're in a cart, and the weight, the burden that you're carrying is in the cart on wheels. But here's what he means by this yoke. That yoke, excuse me, the cart is attached to the yoke. That yoke represents this relationship with Jesus Christ. I am yoked with Jesus. In Philippians, this idea of yoke is brought out in chapter 4, in which Syzygus is this loyal yoke fellow. In other words, he is yoked with Paul, but they are yoked to Jesus Christ in this relationship with him. Not this burden, not this law, not this moral demands, do this, do this. See, when we begin to put this in proper perspective, in which the Spirit leads and the law follows, the yoke is what is hinges us and attaches us, yokes us to Christ so that we can carry this burden. He says, see, my burden is light. The law is not light. Sin is not light. The weight of that load is extreme and tremendous. And it can even be strangling for so many believers so that they're disillusioned with Christianity. They'll even say, you know what? I tried God and he didn't work. Wow, my heart goes out to them because they've never experienced, or at least not for a long enough season, to experience the joy of the Lord. And granted, they may have gone to a conference, and in that conference, their hearts got mended with the Lord, and they're back out in the world, and they're stumbling back in sin. And how do they remedy sin? With the law. And they have failed to be yoked with Jesus the way he wants them to. And so the plain and simple message here that Jesus is bringing out to us is he has a yoke for us, and it is faith. It is trusting in him, looking to him. He's the one that sets us free. We don't struggle our way out of sin. We don't struggle our way through the law. He's the one, as we surrender to him, he's the one that dismantles and destroys the sin in us. He's the one that then empowers us to walk in his commands. If you love me, you will serve me. You'll obey my commands. And it's that love for Jesus that begins to then empower, embolden, and give us strength to obey his commands. And his commands are light. His commands are simple, and they are spirit-led. They are birthed from this idea of love. Love is the pinnacle. Love for God, love for others. That's the pinnacle of the law. And yet, here's what we want to do. We're always wanting to create laws to measure our obedience by. Wow, that's not what Jesus did. He was born under law, born of a woman, born under law to redeem those under law. He was to lift that burden from your shoulders, that weariness, that thing that just robs you of your joy. He was to lift that from your shoulders tonight. And so I'm just going to encourage you with this simple message that Paul starts off with, the free woman who is constantly being persecuted by the slave woman's son. The free woman, she's that free woman's son. See, he's the one who has the promises. See, he's the one who has the inheritance, not the slave woman, not the one led by flesh, and not the one led by law, but the one led by spirit. That's the one that receives the full inheritance because they're trusting in Christ. They're constantly looking to him. They're constantly allowing their hearts to be refreshed, understanding the depth of his love and his forgiveness and walking in that. Doesn't see quiet times as a measuring stick for obedience, but rather again as an opportunity to grow. And so I'm going to encourage you every time you sit down, getting into the word, getting into prayer, worshiping him, see that as an opportunity to grow. See it as an opportunity to reconnect. Let the Spirit of God fill you again and refresh you, because he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. This is for us. It's not just for the world, because as Christians, we can allow ourselves to become wearied and burdened again by sin or the flesh and the law. So here's this clear invitation. And to even demonstrate that, Matthew then leads us in chapter 12. With the first portion of chapter 12, it's verses 1 through 14. Guess what it's about? It's about the law, specifically the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, who have their law, they're living according to the law, but they're the very ones Jesus is talking to. Come to me because you are the ones who are wearied and burdened. So what did they do? They're walking through the fields. They're gathering Jesus' disciples. They're gathering grain. And these Pharisees ask Jesus, why do you allow your disciples to do what's unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus says, guys, you have really missed the very purpose and the very heart of the law. You have created so many legalistic laws to make sure that you're keeping the Sabbath. You have missed the very point of the Sabbath, because this man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made to bless him, to be an opportunity to grow. Now, Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath, but he has called us then to that permanent rest. See, rest. Not law, rest in Christ. Hebrews 4, that rest that we have in Christ. And so for the first 14 verses, it's about the law. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. A man with a shriveled hand, they watch him because they're wondering, is he going to break the law? And Jesus says, wow, you guys, you still don't get it. Here's this man, and he needs the love of the Father to change him, to be able to free him from this bondage, because he can't work with the shriveled hand. And now if I heal him, granted on the Sabbath, he is now going to be able to work. He's going to be able to do things around his house. He's going to be able to enjoy life more to its fullest. And so I am offering him life in essence. And you're discouraging this? Come on another day to heal? See, they just completely miss it. They used the law and they shackled people with it. They were led by the law, and they were wearied and burdened, and they didn't even realize it. Now, as you move on, Jesus, so that is obeying the commands, that is the cart, that's the cart, and following Jesus, obeying his commands, they then turned to, you know, use the law as burdensome, and commands should not be burdensome. Jesus says, it's light. My burden is light. But as you go into verse 15 through 21, as you skip down to verse 21, he's talking about people coming to him. Jesus had to withdraw. People come to him. He quotes from Isaiah, and he ends with this. If you look in verse 21, what does it say? In his name, the nations will put their hope. Now, we could go through this whole thing, so much to it. I love it. It even says concerning Jesus, I'll put my spirit on him. He'll proclaim justice to the nations. Then he says, in my name, the nations, that is the people, the Gentiles, all people, the nations will put their hope in me. See, they're going to come to me. That's the yoke. The yoke is that relationship with Jesus Christ. The Pharisees with their law created such a heavy burden. Jesus says, no, 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 no. See, if you get it right, obeying the law is so simple. That burden, following Jesus, becomes so simple because the yoke comes first and then it pulls the burden. The yoke with Jesus Christ comes first and then the law, the walking in his commands. We delight in them. See, many in the Old Testament got that. They understood that their delight was in the law of the Lord. And so in the law, they meditated day and night. And what does it say? As a tree, they were planted by streams of water. So here's where I want to ask you. I'm just going to wrap it up with this. Do you feel burdened tonight? Do you feel the weight, not just of sin, but even of the law and the commands and the sense that you're falling short, just constantly falling short? God wants to break that off of you. And he wants to put on you the proper yoke of Jesus Christ. And from that yoke, that relationship with him, you're going to be able to walk in all of his commands. You're not going to be burdened. They're not going to be weighing upon you. They're going to become this delight, not this duty, but a delight. And you will be filled with your joy. Because if you don't get this, if you reverse it and you put the burden before the yoke, as the Pharisees did, and as Matthew actually puts it, he talks about the burden, then he talks about the yoke in verse 21. When you get those reversed and the burden pulls the yoke, I mean, I'm not even sure that can even happen. But if you reverse this, then it robs you of your joy. And it eats away at your soul. And I'm just going to say this. So many people walk away from Jesus because they have never truly experienced this type of rest, this type of joy. And so tonight, I'm going to close in prayer. I want to ask you, are you really resting in him? Because if you're not, it's either because you're being led by the flesh or you're being led by the law. Are you experiencing his rest? Are you experiencing that yoke so that the burden is light? Or does it feel heavy and cumbersome and wearying to your soul? So I'm just going to tell you this. When duty constantly drives you, when the law leads you, it's going to burn you out. You're going to become disillusioned about what it even means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And many in our day are walking away because they've never truly come to him, or they've never truly been yoked with Jesus the way he asks us to be in his scriptures. So I'm going to close in prayer right now. Let the spirit of the Lord minister to your hearts tonight. And if you're being led by the law, to just lift that burden off. No more shame, no more regret, no more condemnation, but joy. So Spirit of God, I ask, fill us all with your joy as we are placing our relationship with Jesus Christ right there in the front. We are led by the Spirit, not the law, not by the flesh. And I just ask you, God, rekindle that joy, rekindle that passion and love for you as we trust you. As we get the right perspective as children of promise, receiving this amazing inheritance that isn't about law, it is about loving Jesus so that we are able and empowered to love others and be able to walk in his commands. And those commands will be light. So, Father, I pray right now, speak to our hearts. If the cart has been pulling the yoke, just show us that. If the law has been leading us and a relationship with Jesus Christ is in the back seat, change that right now, God. Stir our hearts, draw them and endear them to you of all that you have done for us. And as we look at that, Father, as we remember what you have done for us, oh Lord, kindle that flame again in our heart, impassion us, Lord, again, so that we can seek you with all of our hearts, so that as we're yoked to you, that burden is light. We're filled with joy, and it is such a delight to love you and love others. I pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listen, I love you guys. I miss you terribly. I wish I were there with you. I'd love to be able to just pray over some of you, but since I'm not there, can you do that? If you need prayer tonight, don't leave without someone praying for you, okay? Just grab someone and just say, hey, can you pray for me? And minister to one another right now, if you would, okay? Well, listen, I love you.